Hey, Spittin' Chiclets listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 150 of Spittin' Chiclets, presented by New Amsterdam Vodka. Let's say hello to the gentleman today. Let's go to Ryan Whitney first. What's going on, Whit Dog? Where are you these days?
How are you? I'm in Secaucus. As you can tell behind me, I'm still in my hotel room at the Residence Inn. That is not a Sub-Zero fridge for anyone wondering. And I'm pumped up to do this today, boys. I got some hockey knowledge right now as I'm at the network.
Nice. They're feeding you with stats. Next, let's go to our other host, Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty. Where are you right now, buddy? You just got off a plane, right?
I'm just going to simplify my game. Hello, everyone. And I got lit up by Spit and Chiclets memes for my intro last episode. I was going for that Jay-Z, like, it's your boy.
That was better. That was pretty good right there.
Okay, see? See, I just... I
thought you were getting one off when you did it the first time.
Can you play the Jay-Z clip where he's like... It's your boy.
Last but not least, our producer, Mikey Grinnelli. What's up, brother?
What's up, boys? Very excited to unleash the voicemail line today, but more importantly, I'm very excited because I caught another mouse today. Got him right in the head.
That's a good thing.
Oh, it's a great thing. It's a good omen.
One down, 17 to go.
They must have smelled the piss and shit.
Have you negotiated your rent down? Based on the piss incident and the fact that you have to catch a mouse every week?
Oh, did you guys hear my latest debacle with the whole piss incident?
Well, yes. The fact that you got a free mattress coming, but you bought a mattress and now you can't use the free mattress. Somebody brought up a good point that you should donate it. I think that would be a cool thing to do, and obviously the sponsor would be happy about it. Just somebody would definitely need a new mattress.
I like that idea. Like that idea a lot.
Yo, Grinnelli, quickly though. For everyone out there that, you know, you've said the renter's insurance isn't being covered. Grinnelli told me this and left this part out. The accident happened and then he called to try to get renter's insurance. So he didn't this kid didn't have it. He tried to squeeze the system like a little weasel and he got busted on it. So that you left that part out.
Yeah. So 100% my own fault. But let me preface with this. I got renter's insurance at 9:30. I reported the incident at 9:53. So, I had renter's insurance.
I'm pretty sure if anyone has a brain at the insurance company, they're like, dude, oh, this just happened.
That sounds like something our Ray's buddies would do.
No, my buddies would have pulled it off.
Oh, man.
But a bump. You're a piece of work, Grinnelli.
Wow, fucking RA's buzzing already. I'm excited for this epi, boys.
Speaking of G's, Biz, we got the original G coming on in just a little bit. Claude Giroux of the Philadelphia Flyers. We had some man rockets last week. Uppy, Hank, and I'll throw G right up there with the rest of them.
Yeah, and also, I got to be the guy, so I'm going to get fucking... torch for this one. Somebody told me to actually stop saying that.
That one staying in is a lesson that it's like that was the one that kills enough.
Come on. Nope. I do say that a lot. Also, RA, we got to thank Budweiser Canada. They're the ones who sent us out there out west to get all those awesome interviews. G, do you want to talk a little bit about all the YouTube content that's finally going to be rolling out?
So as of tonight, we are recording on Wednesday. We will be releasing the trailer for the West Coast Wagon Tour on our YouTube channel. So that will be the first video we are releasing on the YouTube channel. And then as the next few weeks go on, we're going to be pumping out content every day. Monday, we'll be releasing the podcast. Tuesday, we'll be releasing the corresponding video to the podcast. That's the video.
Oh, people will like that one.
Yeah, it will be the video interview that everyone's been asking for. And then on Wednesdays, we'll be releasing an original content piece. We have six different content pieces. RA and Biz go to Hollywood. Biz and Whitney take Venice Beach, amongst many. And then Thursday, again, we'll be dropping the podcast. And then Friday, we'll have another corresponding interview of the podcast.
I don't want to give too much away, but that basketball game is going to make me look real bad.
Hey. I rewatched that. I've seen that, and I've seen the trailers, just the minute clip you sent me, right, Grinnelli?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, that's funny. All right, Biz, but I did get to see the basketball game.
We can't give too much away. There was a lot of good parts. The third game was fun.
I was so annoying. I was just nonstop giving it to you. At least the video is cut that way. I don't think I stopped talking the entire game. But still, that was funny. And it brings back some good memories with Teddy and Bugsy. You know, we miss those guys.
Yeah, it was a good week. I'm looking forward to seeing those videos. Speaking of guys with the name G, Gino Malkin, he's getting a one-game suspension for attempting to Ned Stark Michael Raffy in Philadelphia on Monday. Little Game of Thrones fire there, Biz. I see you smiling. Raffle gave him a little bit of a shot behind the head. A lot of people said he should have been suspended. I mean, it was a glancing blow, and then Malkin, in retaliation, turned and swung a stick like a sword, and he glanced Raffle right off the head. But, I mean, if he caught him, he would have fucking easily concussed him. But either way, the glancing blow got him a one-game suspension. It's going to cost him $51,000 and change. It was pretty reckless, man. What's your take on it, Witz?
My take? It starts with this. For people who haven't watched Pittsburgh over the last 10, 12 years, Evgeny Malkin is a psychopath. He has a anger streak in him that, you know, comes out, not often, I'll say, but there's been many instances where he gets pissed off. I think it's one of the things that makes him as great as he is. He's a lunatic out there, and he's so good that you just never really know what's going to happen. And there he was pissed off. Two shots in the back of the head. I think that, you know, they weren't overly hard, but obviously, like, they hit him. And without even thinking, you know, I don't want to say I can see what, like, how he did it or why he did it, because it was definitely reckless, but he's just pissed off. He's got his little anger streak, and he just throws his stick. It's one-handed. And now, mind you, he got a game suspension. It didn't even hit him. That could have been a 20-gamer if it caught him in the jaw. 10 games, say. It was like there was a view of the incident from, like, the, you know, the penalty box where, like, little Pierre Maguire sits, like, that camera, and you see how hard he swung the stick. I mean, from the up top regular camera view, yeah, it looks bad, but when you see actually, you know, how much speed was in it, it could have done some damage. You could tell the whole Philly bench stood up shocked. And the best part was, Biz, before you give your opinion, was after Malkin's like, "Oh, fuck, he played dirty. I didn't even fucking hit him." I added the F-bombs, but it was
Read the quote. It goes, Malkin goes, "I didn't hit him in the face. If I touched him in the face, for sure, I would get suspended. It's a high stick, but it's not like I broke his face. I think I don't get suspended." Evgeny Malkin, one-game suspension.
Broke his face.
That's a Malkin quote, by the way. If you guys want to go get lost on YouTube, go watch some Malkin interviews, like, in between periods and shit, where, like, the I am score or whatever. I think, you know, he got a little reckless there. He is a bit of a snapshot. There's a clip somebody posted as well when he two-handed Callahan, medieval times dinner tournament style, a few years back. But, yeah, he's a competitor. And sometimes when you're out there, you know, 45 seconds, a minute in your shift, and, you know, you're getting a couple cross checks in the back or a punch in the head, you know, your wires cross a little bit, and that split second where he turned around and flung his stick, it's like, fuck, it's too late. No backing out now. You're committed, ends up clipping him. I'm just happy, you know, no damage was done, because you don't want to lose an NHL star out of the lineup for 15 games off a little stupid mistake. A lot of people are upset because, you know, attempt to injure was there. You know, I expected maybe more, maybe two, maybe three games. Obviously, the raffle kind of initiated. The good news is I'm heading to that Stadium Series game, Philly-Pittsburgh, and he won't be suspended for that. So that's kind of nice, and it'll kind of enhance that rivalry, which, of course, it needed anything else to get it going.
Yeah, and I think partly when you have one hand on your stick, you're kind of thinking, oh, how much damage can I do? But when you get some fucking lag on it like Sergio Garcia, you can take somebody's head off. So maybe having one hand, you just didn't realize how strong he was. And, I mean, I'm not saying this is going to happen. It's a different league now. But if someone from, you know, Philly tried fighting Malkin for that, he probably would, depending on who it is. Like, he's not afraid. He'll drop the glove. So we'll see what happens. It being an outdoor game and him being a superstar and it just being a different league, maybe not. But you never know when Philly and Pittsburgh get together.
The last thing I wanted to see, I had money on the Penguins, 3-0 lead with 5 minutes left. And then
they scored quick.
They did. They scored quick. And then basically, was, you know, they had a 6-on-4 for the rest of the game. So I had to sweat that one out. But did you see the the disallowed goal they called back. Did you happen to catch that one?
Oh, that was a bad one. And
very bad.
Wow.
Very
bad. Yeah, Matt Murray was in goal for Pittsburgh. I mean, it wasn't like he kind of stopped it and they blew a quick whistle. They just blew the whistle. He never even had possession of it. It should have been an easy goal for Philly. But again, I had money on Pittsburgh, so I wasn't going to complain too much. But you got to think the referee got an email after the game for that call.
Oh, could you imagine being a ref and blowing that call in Philadelphia? And like, you got to get a police escort out of the building.
And you know what? EJ Raddick, my man at NHL Network, brought up the point. The same exact thing happened in game six, I think, Penguins in the Cup Finals. And it was Murray as well. And Forsberg put a puck on net and it kind of snuck through him. No even remotely close part to him, you know, covering the puck. And Sissons banged in. It would have given Nashville a 1-0 lead. And it was just funny. Same exact goalie. And it's a game of mistakes, right? Players are making mistakes all game, so refs do also. But that one kind of pisses me off because him delaying the whistle by 1 second, if he has it covered, isn't going to really do anything. And in that 1 second, you can just take a stride left or right to see if the puck's behind him. I mean, blowing a quick whistle there really does no good. I mean, if he's got it covered in his glove, which it kind of looked like Murray made a nice glove save, then you know what? If you wait an extra second, no big deal. You blow it down. But if it's through him, that was a screw job for Philly. I mean, you have a right there to be furious. It's almost like you wish that's reviewable. I know you can't do that, but that was getting fucked.
So this is going to set the table for that Stadium Series game. So the NHL just must be salivating at this. As a hockey fan in general and a Penguins fan, I know you Philly fans, it's in Philly, so I better be careful what I say here. It's going to be an intense game. And just kind of ramps things up for sometimes those outdoor games maybe lack a little bit of intensity. This one will be fucking awesome.
Yeah, and you hate
people in Philly will be
vodka. Oh yeah, and we're going there with New Amsterdam vodka. Quick shout out to our sponsor.
Yeah, make sure you
20 promo code.
Make sure you're still enjoying those Pink Whitneys out there. One pot vodka, one pot pink lemonade from New Amsterdam vodka, and enjoy responsibly as always. And also, too, you know, when points are at a premium for the Flyers, they're trying to get in the playoffs, and a goal like that, they don't get it. It doesn't count for them, man. That's tough, man. That's a tough fucking nut to take. So one trade happened since the last show. The Kings continued their fire sale. They traded 34-year-old center Nate Thompson in a fifth rounder in 2019 to the Habs for a fourth rounder in 2019. He's a pending UFA making $1.65 million. He's got 4 goals, 2 assists this year with 17 PIMs. Averaging 12.55 of ice. The number that jumped out with me with Thompson, he's a +3 on a team with a -35 goal differential. So regardless of how you feel about plus minus, he's obviously doing something all right in his own end. The Habs are getting themselves a pretty solid center for their fourth line, a line that hasn't scored since December 29th. He's also won 53.1 of his faceoffs. So Canadians are getting an upgrade for their fourth line. The Kings are basically just moving up a few slots in the draft. So if you're a Habs fan, you got to like the move, no biz.
No, RA, I really like the move. You know, some people think it's useless, but to bring in a repairman like that who can win faceoffs, especially in the defensive zone, he can help kill penalties. Obviously, providing offense isn't really what he's going to bring unless he goes on a little bit of a hot streak, but just a guy to help balance that lineup a little bit more. And, I mean, who knows, man? That Montreal team might make playoffs, and that's the type of guy you're going to need in order to just kind of fill in some holes.
Yeah, and Bergevin made it clear he wasn't going to make a big splash or mortgage any of the future, but that's the type of move that can help you in the playoffs, a veteran. And also, I mean, yeah, like you said, Biz, Montreal gets in, and the Bell Center, crazy time, come playoff. Is that good? French, either way, that place is nuts. So it'll be fun when they're in. I actually root for Montreal to be in there.
For escrow reasons.
every guy in the league is just like, God damn, get all those Canadian teams in there. Get them all in there and then go on long runs. I don't care if we lose.
Yeah, it's not a huge pickup for the Kings. I mean, basically, they're going to move up a few slots in the draft. They probably figured he's going anyways. Might as well get something for him, even though if it's not a huge thing. So, Canadians got a little stronger down the middle. There was an incident in a U.S. Hockey League game the other night. Flames prospect Martin Pospisil, a 19-year-old Slovak, he was a fourth-round pick in 2018. He had a little skirmish in the fans in Omaha. He was in the penalty box. per Flames Nation, which is a well-known Flames blog, they said the Omaha fans had thrown some trash on him while he was in the penalty box. He responded in kind. They threw the trash back at him. So then he stepped up on the bench. He tried to climb in, over the partition in the stands. He was grabbed by some adult in the area and led away from the arena. Pretty hectic scene. Did you happen to catch that, Wits? I mean, these kids are 18 years old and the people throwing fucking trash at him. Grow the fuck up, no?
Yeah, crazy situation. I mean, listen, I also want to mention that there's a lot of like useless things you see in life. I don't know, like, for example, you think of like if there were domes left in business hotel room, useless. The useless, most useless thing I've ever seen in a rink is that little piece of glass above the fans. Did you see that behind where the whole incident was? What is that doing? Either put glass behind there or don't have anything at all. It made no sense. It led to the entire, or not led to the entire incident, but made it easier to happen. The kid lost his mind. Talk about wires crossing, biz. I was surprised to see, you know, it took a little while to break up. I mean, it got bigger than I thought it would get, but still, I mean, you don't want to see that shit. I guess people probably loved it, but, you know, you could think both teams are kind of embarrassed by the whole situation.
I still haven't got the full word on how it all took place. I will say this. I've sat in some penalty boxes where fans are just ruthless and they say ridiculous shit. And, you know, some people's comments will be like, well, he's an NHL draft pick and he's got to hold himself to a higher standard. Fuck you. If you fucking throw something at me, I don't give a fuck. If you want to fire me because someone threw something at me, I went over and socked him in the face, I don't give a shit. I'm not going to succumb to fucking being the better man. Lick my fucking ass.
Like, you'd make like Ron Artest look like a Lady Bing winner.
Okay, so there used to be this guy in Kitchener where when we used to play against the Rangers in the OHL. He used to give it to me behind the penalty box. I would always just say, like, fuck you back and start ripping into him. When I played against the Toledo Storm when I was with the Wheeling Nailers, shout out to the Nailers, there we played in Toledo. The glass was, as you described, it was probably 2 feet tall along the neutral zone. In the end zones, it got a little taller. But there would be a guy with a megaphone, and he would chirp me the whole game because I was kind of the guy who would stir the pot. I would fight and, you know. And I said something that was pretty regrettable once. Like he was on me pretty hard, and I stood up and I looked at him. I said, "Is that your girl?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "I wouldn't fuck her with that guy's dick," and pointed at some like big fat fucker next to him. And I'd kind of been joshing back and forth with him all game a little bit, but had remained pretty calm. But he just kind of went over the edge. And man, it was literally when I was skating by on the ice. He has this megaphone in my face. And after I said it, I felt kind of bad. And even our coach was like, hey, man, you know, take it easy a little bit. But in Toledo, you had to walk out through the concourse and onto the bench. And you were sitting right next to the fans. So everything they were saying, you could hear it. You know, you're a fucking peasant if you go to games to chirp at kids and throw trash at them. So I'm sure the real story or the full story will roll out slowly here and people will be messaging us. But hey, if he got something thrown at him, I'm okay with him going at the other guy.
Yeah, I can't imagine the teenager in the penalty box started something with the fans. I mean, like I said, the Flames Nation blog did say the Omaha fans did start it. There hasn't been any discipline announced yet, so we'll see what happens.
And that kind of brings up a topic, boys. What are the most epic altercations with fans and players?
Ty Domi.
I'll let you take that one away right now then. Go talk about that one.
I just remember being like, I remember the clip of him just against the glass and he just thinks he's never going to get touched. He's so cocky. And then it breaks through and you just see Ty Domi just string him out. The guy, first of all, he falls on his face, and then Domi pretty much lifts him up and he's just got leverage on him, just unloading on the guy's face. I'll never forget that one. And then I think you see players actually skate and jump into the penalty box or tried to along with the linesmen or the refs, but I don't want to say it was playoffs. I don't know. Either way, I remember I was actually watching the game live, just like, holy shit, this is awesome. That's what I said. Like, if you're watching that, it's so not normal. You see it so rarely that it's actually incredible to view.
The other one was the Rob Ray one. And the reason why that one, I put it above it, is because after the game, Rob Ray got interviewed about the altercation and how it all went down. Grinnell, I need you to find and roll this clip right now.
You know, we're kind of wondering, what's this guy going to do? So, you know, we weren't going to really wait to give him the chance of, you know, who knows what he's going to do, you know, all the things that happened. So you know, as soon as he jumped, we sort of just threw him up, and, you know, hopefully that was going to be the end, but he came right back. So, and then that's when we sort of took a little force to him and tried to slow him down or tried to get him out of there. And, you know, by that time, the police had come and they took him away.
But if you go back and watch how it all went down, he completely fabricates what happened, but it's comical because he keeps a straight face the entire time. Brad Richardson's actually a guy who made me aware of the post-game interview. I'd never seen it. So once you roll that audio, people have a good hoot, especially if you've seen how it all transpired. And R.A., do you have one for us?
I do. First, I just want to say I was kind of hoping that guy in Omaha leaned into the penalty box just like that happened with Ty Domi, so he could have fallen in, so this could have put a beating on him. But my favorite, I mean, it's the holy grail of fan fights. In 1979, it was life imitating art. The Boston Bruins going into Madison Square Garden and fighting the fans. It was years after Slapshot. Slapshot came out a couple years before that. So the fact that a professional team went into the crowd to fight the crowd years after that movie came out is even more funny. But yeah, that's the all-time classic fan fight. I mean, Milbury beating a guy with his shoe. I mean, what more can you add to that?
That's like the GOAT, where you just try to talk about other ones besides that one because it's so the number one. The other great one was, remember, I think, I don't know when it was. I feel like it was the 80s, but some dude hopped over the glass and was running around the ice, and he got laid out. And
just took him off on a stretcher. Somebody hit him from behind into the wall. Oh, yeah.
Somebody ran him over. Somebody, dude, absolutely.
The 80s were fucked. 70s and 80s were out of control. Oh, like, that was back then, if you drank and drove and the cop pulled you over, he'd just, like, put you in the back of his car. Like, that's okay. It was just, like, a different world back then. Not everyone was out to get everyone. And I mean, would you agree? I'm sure you have buddies where if they were drinking and driving back in the day, that a cop pulled them over and was like, all right, just jump in the back of the cruiser, I'll bring you home, leave your car here.
Yeah, if they knew the cop, or even more likely to just say, all right, just fucking leave your car here and get a cab. They'll even
and
call
then they go
a cab.
Rob a bank together.
Yeah. Like that scene in The Town. Remember the scene in The Town when they go to park the car and the cop's sitting there looking at them? Remember that scene, Biz?
The only scene I remember is when he was talking to the girl in the bar and you could see the cook's head.
Yeah, that's the only time. That's all I got either.
That clip, Biz, the cops in there, that was actually based on an actual incident. Guys just were doing a score and they parked to go switch the cars and there was a cop sitting there working a detail. And he froze. He looked. He's like, what am I going to do here? And he basically just let them go because fucking it was 4-1. That was based on an actual incident.
I also, boys, I wrote something down in my notes that really grinds my gears. If you message us saying, hey, how come you haven't talked about this on the podcast and we've literally covered it in the last two episodes, that means you're not listening. So if you fucking message me something like that, like, hey, dude, why aren't you talking about the Red Wings? It's like, we fucking did 48 hours ago and it was on the last podcast. Did you not listen to the podcast? So from now on,
and then they're just trying to chirp early.
From now on, we're going to put these people on blast on the main account. Is that fair, Grinnell? So we give everyone the pre-warning.
Are they even worth the attention, though?
I kind of like to do it now,
but now it'll prevent people from doing it, because if you do it, then like everyone is going to roast them. We're getting everyone involved.
Sure. You know what grinds my gears? It just happened to me. I'm just bringing this up because you brought up the grinding of the gears. When you're waiting to turn left on a light, okay, and the fucking light's green, right? And you're going to take a left, but the traffic's coming the other way. You know, both ways have green. It's not one that has an arrow for the green. Those are great. It's one when you got to do your own work. If you don't pull out to the middle of the intersection and then fucking go when it's yellow and the other cars stop going, you're an asshole. It drives me insane. People stay on the white line. Get out there, and you'll take the left when the other ones stop, and then you can get a couple cars going left.
I agree with
it. It just happened, but I didn't mean to.
Sorry. No, that's okay. You let it out, buddy.
Is that not so annoying?
We're going to see Whit in a road rage incident.
What about when people don't take a left on red? You can actually do that in Massachusetts. If you're on a one-way, taking a left turn onto another one-way, you can actually go left on red.
Like, that's like common sense. Yeah.
A lot of people would be surprised at how many fucking people don't know it. Anyways, enough of the boring car talk. Let's go to that handsome son of a bitch on the Philadelphia Flyers, Claude Giroux, right now.
And it's also brought to you by Budweiser Canada.
This interview is brought to you by Eagle Energy, the all-natural caffeine inhaler. You guys know the drill. Biz20 promo code for 20% off. It's great. It's a good coffee replacement for those of you who are driving a lot for work, commuters. Just kind of gives you that natural energy boost without having to deal with the shits or having to stop and pull over to piss all the time. That's My Eagle Energy on social media, eagle.energy for the website, Biz20 promo code for 20% off, of course. Once again, if you have any questions for them, follow them on social media. If you want to be a distributor of the product, you want to carry it in your store, maybe reach out to them as well. And I hope you guys enjoy the product. I enjoy it, and I know Grinnelli likes it as well. Biz20 promo code, 20% off. Swipe up.
I'd like to welcome to the show a guy who's in San Jose for his sixth All-Star game. He's in his 12th season with the Philadelphia Flyers. He has a career 0.93 points per game in his 786-game career. Welcome to Spit and Chicklets, Claude Giroux, or G as they call him.
Thanks for having me, boys. I've been listening to you guys for a while, so pretty excited about this.
You've been dodging us for a bit.
Like I said, I was a little nervous. You guys are a little outgoing. I'm a little shy guy.
Oh, so, yeah, you're so shy, G. That's what everyone says when they meet
you. Yeah, I'm shy, so it's I'm out of my comfort zone here by doing this, but I'm very excited.
You got to put that mic a little closer to your mouth when you talk. I know Sounds you good. Don't want to mess up those nice new teeth you got. When did you get those? Holy
those
shit.
Those chips look good.
Wow. Yeah, you saw that?
Holy.
You can really tell, though, can you? They look great for my wedding pictures, though. Everybody tells me I got a great smile.
Hey, buddy, congrats.
Thanks, man.
Any kids?
That was the summer, yeah.
Man down, yeah. Dude.
Oh,
huh?
My man bite must
broke
have got
into,
lost.
Broke into prison.
Was awesome.
He's
was
like,
awesome.
Biz, you can come to the awards with me, but you can't come to my wedding. Maybe that's when I got uninvite.
You're Vegas guy. You're not wedding guy. That's not your scene.
Oh, I remember that. You're like, hey, G, bring anybody for the NHL awards in Vegas? I'm like, no. He's like, hey, can I have your plus one, man? Like, free hotel, like, free dinners. Like, I like free things, right? I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Yo, the best part of that story is it always, to me, was told, yeah, Giroux invited me to the All-Star game as his plus one, and he comes on, he's like, yeah, he just kind of asked for the plus one.
Well, I don't know. It kind of happened. It was a couple weeks before we were in Montreal for the F1. And
Legit, two of the best weekends of my life. Probably two in my top five.
All I remember from that weekend is Mike, Commodore. He didn't have a cell phone or a wallet for 3 days. And he's like, yeah, I'll just meet up with you guys later. I'm like, how are we going to communicate with this guy? And he was always there.
He always found a way to get that.
I was like, this guy's nuts. No wallet, no phone for literally 3 days.
That trip, I plan on going for 3 days. I ended up staying for five. The cold sweats I had after it. But the amount of partying was worth it. We had Commodore. Oh,
Teddy.
Here's a story for you. I don't know if G was with us. For the sake of your marriage, you weren't.
Oh, Jesus.
No. It was a story. We went to Cirque du Soleil, and there was about 8 to 10 of us in the front row, all hockey guys. And these girls get up on stage. They do their thing, like crazy acrobats. And then now they become the people that, like, go in the audience. And, you know, it's like a mystique. And I think it was St. Pierre gets something thrown off his chest. It was like a little something. And I noticed it, too. And I looked at him. He looked at me. And he's like... So it was a little piece of paper. We unraveled it, and it was all the fucking girls' numbers.
Wow, Biz.
That were in the... Yeah. So we didn't end up going meeting out with them because, like, obviously we looked at the game notes and checked the program, and we're like...
I've never seen Marty so excited, though.
Marty
was pretty pumped about that move.
Well, he was finally taller than one of them, so he was fucking so jacked up. And that was an unbelievable weekend. That was during the heydays, and, that was... Boyd Gordon was there. He was another guy.
Oh, yeah. Derek Brassard. Didn't say a word for 3 days, but he had a smile on the whole time.
Gordo's a weird cat. He won't come on the podcast.
He won't
He's
even come
like
on
you
Biz's Instagram.
Us.
Biz tries to Instagram me, like, hide. It's just like you just hear stories of Gordo. No clue what
he
he's really like.
He just sits there, had a beer in his hand, and just people watch the whole time.
Took it all in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, dude, RA said this is your sixth All-Star game. I mean, that's just incredible in its own right, but... Do you still enjoy coming here, right? It's a little different at the beginning, but now it's like, you know, you almost want the break, but you still got to represent the squad.
Yeah, at first, it's the first few ones were pretty nice. You know, we play with great players, and you're really excited about it. And, I mean, usually it's the same players that come the years after. I mean, I think the first few ones, first one in Carolina and then Ottawa, that was a good time.
Well, you've had some tough cities.
Jeez.
Where's L.A., yeah. Dallas, and New York?
Well, it's a little different for me. Ottawa's home for me. So,
okay, that's true.
So that was pretty cool. But, Yeah, it was Nashville was pretty fun too. So man, that would be great. A couple of good cities too.
Yeah, that's big time.
Who you looking forward to playing with out there? I mean, I know I was saying to Connor McDavid the other night, not a big deal we had him on. But
so you're like a pigeon on our podcast. No offense, Claude.
You know, like you guys are usually your rivals. These guys in your division, now you're teammates with them. So like, but there must be some guys you want to play with though because they're so creative. I know Sid's probably an obvious guess.
Oh God, yeah, that's got to be uncomfortable.
Was a hit. That was a hit and a half, dude.
It's a little, it's better now, but like I remember the first World Championship we went to, and he was late to come, and the first practice we had, and then we go for a team lunch after. I'm doing my plate. It's like a brunch, and I'm done with my plate, and everybody's kind of like everybody knows about me and Sid. It's like on the ice we were like rivals, and then all I can hear is Nate McKinnon be like, "Hey, G, I got a spot right beside Sid. Let's go, come here." And
breaks
everybody,
the ice.
Oh, yeah, everybody started laughing, and it was all good after that.
That's such a hockey
and
thing.
You're like,
where,
no, I'm good.
Yeah, yeah, like, I'm all set, actually.
You shoot
buddy.
Check, Sid.
He's like, "Sorry, Sid, it wasn't me." What else do we have for you? I had to ask, which, you know, this year obviously hasn't gone as you guys hoped in Philly, but it's been 12 years now for you, so there's been a lot of ups, a lot of downs, but what's it like playing in that city? I mean, a lot of times I call them Philly scumbags. You know, I was a Pittsburgh guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know you disagree with that, but what's it been like to be a Flyer so far in your entire career?
Yeah, I know you don't like Philly, but you know what? They're crazy.
Crazy.
And they know it, and they love it. So, you know, you go to Eagles games, you go tailgating, and it's another level.
What'd you guys do for the Super Bowl last year?
We actually went downtown, watched it as a team. It was a good time, and then ended up in the streets with all the fans, and it was about 2-3 million people in the city, and the whole everybody was just going crazy.
Yeah, they were just going nuts.
People, couple cocktails.
People crying and stuff, and
I know.
It was something to remember for sure.
Scott Hartnell, I texted him. I said, "Give me some ammo."
He goes, "I need a Hartsy story."
He goes,
too.
"Ask, yeah, we're gonna get some Hartsy stories, but ask him about his dart game. How I roasted him every night. You probably lost a few bucks to him, eh?"
Well, we ended up going to Buffalo Billiards in Philly, and we played pool. I dust him at that, and then we started playing darts for some reason. Me, him, and Jake Voracek, and Jake likes to gamble a little bit when we compete, so we started betting for darts, and. I thought I was okay at darts, but I'm not very good, I guess. But I love to compete. So he would make me win a few games, and then I would just ante the price up, and then he would just clean me out, and I refuse to play against him now. He just hustled me hard.
Say he hustled you then, huh?
And he would text you that. Eh? It's the only thing he ever beat me at.
That's the first. Well, then he texts
me. He's a terrible athlete.
Yeah, let me get him. He goes, "Ask him about that move that turns my crank." Ha 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 ha. So
I don't even know what it means.
I don't know what it means. I'm looking forward to this one.
I just go. I go to the center ice. I got speed. They're coming at me, so I fake go wide and I put it between the guy's stick and skate and kind of went over. Like, you probably don't know that move.
No,
to be honest.
Like, what?
But I would play with Hartsy, and then when I started doing that move, all I could hear in the background is Hartsy. Ho! and I'm like looking back.
Like, catch up, Hartsy.
And then I go back to the bench. He's like, "Gee, you got to do that move more often." I get so excited when you do that move. And then I do a few turnovers like that, and coach will yell at me and be like, "Don't listen to coach, man. Keep doing that move." Every time. So when he watches my game and I do it, I get a text from him, be like, "Hey, man, that move was sick."
He just recently started doing some work at NHL Network, and I was getting off the shift as he was coming on. He looked phenomenal, too. He's got the long hair going. I'm like, "God, Hartsy, you look great in that suit." He goes, "Don't act so surprised, Whit." He's always got the one-liners, huh?
Oh, he doesn't stop. I remember I watched him the first or second time he was on, and there was just a close-up on him, and he knew that the camera was on him, and he was going like this with his hair, and I'm just like, I can't watch this guy. Like, can't take him serious.
Yeah, I'm not taking anything he says serious, for sure.
You guys had some good teams there. Do you got any good Hartsy stories before we move on? Anything, man, that's like we can say on TV? Or sorry.
You know, Hartsy, the most impressive thing about Hartsy, we played cards on the plane, and he was sitting beside me for about 6 years, 5 years. And seriously, I've never seen somebody fart so much. But like
this was brought up when we had him on.
It's disgusting. Like, we actually like had to stop the game once in a while and be like, we have 5 minute break, guys, we go for walks, come back. But like, it's like he's consistent at it. It's like every 5 minutes there's like a bomb that goes off, and then we have to take a timeout, and like it's
just a bird dog.
But it's impressive.
He wouldn't hold it?
Oh no. There's no shame in him. Just
Is it because he didn't want to shit on the plane? But I mean, you must be better off.
I don't know what he eats, to be honest. He, it's something he eats for sure.
Is he really gritty? Is Hotsy really gritty?
Oh, yeah. How much have you had to talk about gritty this season?
Gritty's here right now. You're just like, dude.
Gritty is seriously, like, when the fans were booing him the first preseason game, I was probably in there booing too. And and after that, he just took over, and no one cares about the players anymore. They just want to meet Gritty. It's insane. Like, I got family and friends coming over, and they want Gritty T-shirts. They want. It's all about Gritty. He's pretty selfish, but he's people appreciate him.
It's all about him.
It's all about
him. And there's not a mascot who embodies that their city more than Gritty.
Oh, he's
obviously you've seen like the tattoo of the Gritty, like, sniffing lines and.
I didn't see that.
I got a tattoo of it. It was RA. Show him, RA.
I gotta pull it up. Actually, speaking of players, how impressed have you been with the play of 20-year-old goaltender Carter Hart? You guys called him up. He's
he's like your future.
Yeah, basically, you called him up probably earlier than the organization probably wanted to, but he's 20 years old. He's got a 2.66 GAA, 9.18 save percentage. Pretty impressive for a young kid, no?
Yeah, I know. You don't see a lot of goalies that are 20 and they come in the league and kind of do what he's doing right now. And he's impressive. I mean, we had a lot of goalies this year. I think we tied a record,
tied
seven.
Record, yeah.
Obviously, he came in, and the way he played, it's pretty you have to shake your head at him. It's pretty impressive and great attitude. You know, goalies are a little different sometimes. He's pretty normal for a goalie, you'd say. And he's just a shy kid, and he's 20 years old. Like, what'd you expect? Yeah. Where were you when you were 20?
I was wetting my bed in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, sleeping in for a game because I went out the night before and didn't sweat it out enough in pregame skate. I wanted to ask you about Voracek, what do they call him, the Champagne Don or something?
Because
every time he goes out to the club, he bottle service.
The Czech Jesus, too.
Czech Jesus.
Are him and Pasta running around together this weekend, maybe? Czechs are animals.
Jake is he's hilarious. I mean, he's got that crazy hair, crazy beard. He just doesn't want to cut it. He just refuses to. And, puck drops, and he's an animal.
Yeah, he's ready to go.
He's an animal.
I don't want to go back to Gritty, but I have to. That one where it was Jake Voracek without his beard, and then he had like a little scruff and then a full beard. And then it just transformed to Gritty. Had me in tears. I was like, that's enough internet for today.
It's at right
oh, yeah,
there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Boy. Someone actually got that on their body.
Very interesting.
Hey, I got a question. Going back the year you go into the Cup Finals, just because I experienced getting that far and losing, it's heartbreaking. But do you have any like memories of that? Like, because I always think back to some certain games on the run there, things like that. Like, what is your thoughts on that season?
That was crazy. It's my second year. I'm starting to play a little bit more third line center and getting a chance to play in NHL full time. And then in the last game of the season, we went in shootouts to get in.
That was that against the Rangers.
Against the Rangers, yeah.
I forgot that.
And
was
then
that
after
year.
That, we were down 3-0 in series against Boston. Came back and beat them in seven. Not a big deal. but it's just the whole.
I might have blacked out there. Did you talk about how you got in because of the penalty shot?
Yeah, he did.
Shootout. So we had two games left in the season. And we needed 2 points to get in. So we play in New York, lost that game. So last game of the season against Rangers again, back to back. It goes to shootout, and whoever wins the shootout goes in the playoffs.
Oh,
so it's nerve wracking, and it
did
was
Ryan Boucher in getting that.
Did you shoot?
Well, so I was living with Danny Briere at the time, and we were sitting the night before, and we're like, "What if this goes in shootouts? Like, we're probably gonna have to go."
You guys
and,
about it.
And yeah, so we're like, "That'd be pretty sick," but like, it's obviously nerve wracking. And he goes, he scores, and then I go third one, and it's tie at that point. I remember Hank was goalie, and I go in. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna shoot high glove on him. I go and I can't see a hole at all. I say, okay, low blocker, nothing. I'm just like panic. I'm
whoa, you're
so
looking
close.
Up.
Yeah.
Oh, you were looking at
you
the
don't
puck?
You don't do that, eh?
Oh.
But then I get close and I kind of panicked and kind of saw 5-0, so I went 5-0, scored.
Gamer, thank you.
But that was a sweet feeling. But like you said, you go into the Stanley Cup Finals early in your career and you're like, I'm gonna get back there again.
I know. That's no problem.
Yeah, and since then it's like. Not even a sniff. So
I know.
Witt was talking about it today about how
Gary Roberts gave a speech to us. Then, like, we ended up losing, obviously. But he said, "You don't understand how hard this is." He's getting emotional. He was a savage. And then
I remember being like, oh my God, he's right. Sure enough, I didn't even sniff the playoffs, I don't think, again. So it's true. But just even though it's a loss, I'll remember that run the rest of my life. I'm sure it's the same for you. Yeah. That Chicago team was just their fourth. It was like Bufflin. Like, it was just, they had everyone. They were too good.
Oh, yeah. They had a good team. We had a good team, too. I mean, we had Prongs and Kimo back there.
Prongs took over the playoffs.
It's insane.
That guy was insane in the biggest games.
I know. He played 30 minutes and not even a sweat.
How about he's like, let's fucking go, boys. He gets on guys if they're struggling.
Yeah, no, he's not scared of calling out guys. We had a few episodes, me and him, but good
ones. No way.
Good ones, yeah.
Yeah.
He probably loved that you gave it back to him, though, I bet.
Well, I don't know. I was scared. We're up 4-2.
I didn't give it back to him.
It was my second year, 4-2. I go a blue line turnover, and I go back through onto the other side, and they get a shot. They don't score, and then I'm in front of the net, and he just looks at me. He goes, gee, what the fuck is that? No more fucking turnovers. And they just yell at me, and like the whole building was quiet, so everybody can hear it, and I was embarrassed. I was pissed. So after the game, I go up to him, and I was so furious. I was like, okay, well, it's him. It's Prongs. Like, I got to take it. And I went up to him, and I'm like, hey, don't ever fucking yell at me. You want to yell at me behind the closed door? Yell at me. Like, I can take it, but not in front of everybody.
Right.
And then I'm walking away. I'm shaking my pants now. I'm like, see, he's gonna knock me out.
Chair goes by your head.
But all I can see is he's coming behind me. He's coming. I'm just kidding. This is not good. And then he comes up, and he's like, hey, you're right, G. I apologize. You know, like,
we
can't do that. And it was like, I was pretty impressed how, like, we just put it behind us right away. And it was
creative
good.
Conflict, I call it. Like, I mean, hey, you guys just want to win and fucking... Yeah. You know,
82 games, dude. There's going to be...
You know, you made a mistake. And you don't want to hear it, but...
I kind of agreed with him. So it was like, we just put it behind us. It was good. But he's a great leader. It's the way he plays. And in the playoffs, it's impressive what he's able to do.
We saw Kimo teaming in yesterday, just having lunch. He walked by. He's a little fire hydrant, huh? He's hilarious, though. He's interviewing guys. Like, he seems like he's funny. I've never met him, but
you'd love him. Yeah. You'd love him. He's hilarious. He's him and Hartsy are basically best friends, and yeah, we got along very well together.
Where's he from? Finland.
Yeah.
Never met a bad Scandinavian.
Except for when Jarkko Ruutu catfished me with a woman. That was a finish.
Whoa, what happened?
We've told that story. That story has been told. Well, dude, it's actually hot on this
ball. Oh, my God. I'm sweating my balls
off. And you've come on, dude, and we appreciate it. Just before we really go, what's up for tonight? What are your skills?
Puck control. So we'll go through pucks and then go around, and you got to put on your stick or something, put in the hole.
Just easy work for you, though, bud.
We'll see.
You still spending your summers in Ottawa?
Yeah, I'm in Ottawa. My wife's from there. We have our family, friends down there, so it's always good to go back there.
You got a couple kids now, too?
I do not have a couple kids.
No way.
That's a good one, Biz. Biz read it on the internet. He's like, must be true.
Wikipedia, man. I do my research. A little Hockey DB in Wikipedia.
What are you guys doing for the skills? Are you doing anything?
We're actually just, we're going to be funneling New Amsterdam vodka, and then whoever gets it down first actually wins the prize. So that's our sponsor. And also a league sponsor.
And we should mention that video that keeps going viral about when we were at the All-Star game. And
people love it.
It's a little immature now, but the girl asked me, how do you guys pick up chicks? And I'm like, I usually just pour vodka down their throat, New Amsterdam vodka, that is.
That really works nowadays.
Yeah, and I go from a 6 to an 8, and it's good night, Jim Kite. And
that's on that clip?
Oh, yeah, and like feminists, like, it pops up every once in a while. Obviously, like, I wouldn't say that nowadays, and under the circumstances, 2019, you get smoked for everything.
Like, I'm going to NHL Awards thinking I'm going to get some questions. All the questions are for him.
For Biz.
Yeah, like, say something stupid, you donkey, and I did.
Like, Biz, you think you'll do porn someday? He's like, I don't know, how much they pay.
I never even checked into my room at the Wynn that they gave us for free because I was at the Cosmopolitan. I don't think I left Marquee that entire trip.
I don't think I saw you the whole weekend.
Oh, hey, so to cap off the trip, Henrik Lundqvist ended up winning his first Vezina, and we just had him on today as one of our interviews. Yeah. Obviously, yeah, this was spread out. But it was one of the best weekends of my life. Two of the top five were with you, buddy. I appreciate you coming on. You're the man.
Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Insane career, dude. Keep going.
Congrats on the teeth, man. Those look unbelievable.
And those chompers are phenomenal.
I'm so white. Nice. I should smile more, you say?
Yeah, just be like this more often.
Always like this.
Thank you very much.
That interview was also brought to you by SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a simple way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're catching your favorite musician on tour, shopping for the perfect gift, or searching for a last-minute deal to see your favorite NHL team, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I've had the SeatGeek app on my phone for ages, and it is by far the easiest way I find to use for tickets, to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, any state, no big deal. You punch it in, tell them how much you want to spend, where you want to seat, boom. It does all the shopping for you. It saves you time and money by searching all these sites to compare prices and find you great deals. The best part, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop on SeatGeek with confidence. You don't have to worry about any dirtbag scalpers running off with your money. So make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, our listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code HOCKEY today. That's promo code HOCKEY for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, right seat, right now, right from your phone.
Big thank you to our boy Claude Giroux for coming on the podcast. That was long overdue. A bit of a shaky story with him saying that I called him begging him to go to the awards. I think he gave me the invite. Let's just stick with that story. Obviously, thank you to Budweiser Canada. And Whit, do you think G is going to get on this golf trip of your guys? Because he seems very amped up about it, and he likes to play.
Yeah, he's like, I love to golf. I love to gamble. Is there any way I can get on that trip at some point? I was like, dude, 100%. We ever need a guy. I actually texted him. I said, listen, I think right now we're waiting to hear one to kind of line it up, finish it. But, yeah, he'd be a great addition. He loves golf. And also, he scored, oh, what a goal the other night in Minnesota. He came up with a blue line biz and didn't look down for 1 second, just stared up at, I think it was Dubnyk, who's our boy. So, but either way, stared up the entire time, never looked down, wound it up for a clapper. You think, like, what's he going to do? Just shelf. So Giroux, I don't think gets enough respect. I think for some reason he doesn't get talked about enough. But thank you very much for coming on. Are we going to the voicemails now?
I think we are, boys. So let's explain it here. So we're going to do some
voicemails. How did this work?
So we dropped the voicemail line last night, basically asked our fans, you know, any chirps, any jokes, any stories, basically anything that they want to tell us or get on the podcast, they can submit a voicemail and, you know, I'll go through the best. So I went through about, I don't know, I'd say 200 of them last night, and I pulled the best 20. I sent the guys.
That you're still alive right now. You didn't fucking kill yourself based on some.
You got 200? That's not bad.
Oh, no, we got a little more than that, but, you know, to each his own. I can only do so many. So
you're only human, Michael.
Only human. So I went through all the videos. I titled each one as how I would describe it in 3 or 4 words, and then I sent the guys a list of all the titles. I asked the guys to each pick 2 of the titles that they thought would be funny or that they wanted to talk about. So we'll start off here with RA, and the title is Kids Smoking RA's Hash.
What up, boys? I was calling the Chicklets podcast. Been smoking a little bit of the hash RA style. I got one question for the boys. Who's the biggest bender you've seen actually in the NHL? Who do you think would take their ankles up? That's my question. Nice voice.
The biggest bet.
Christ, that guy sounded depressed.
Holy shit, buddy. Like, how many times? I mean, what was he, half asleep?
He was sleeping the RA hash.
Yeah, it was RA.
RA. I couldn't tell what he said. RA style hash.
I thought you might have given him the hash.
I don't know. Biggest bender. I don't know if he means current or I don't know. I'm the last guy to fucking pick on anybody skating, man. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, that's kind of tough to just throw someone right under the bus. I do remember, Biz, was it Frankie Lassard?
Oh, I was just going to say him.
Yeah. Well, I just know that I think it was a full roll of clear tape on every ankle.
Okay, so Frankie Lassard was a guy who played in Arizona. He actually got called up because he got suspended in the minors, and they had to pay him like a certain amount that year, so they just called him up to the NHL when I was with the team. He couldn't play because he was obviously suspended, and he would bag skate, and like you said, he would use about a full roll of clear on each ankle.
Right? Like for every skate.
Yeah, so and you need knee and ankle flexion when you're skating. That's how you get a proper stride. Important. So we would do bag skates with this guy, and he would always go out right hot out of the gate. And then by the end of it, like he was like fucking doing the chopstick dance on the ice. He couldn't even bend his knees or ankles, and he was just waddling down the ice. He would always finish last. So I would say Frankie Lassard. Actually, my first nights out in Scottsdale, I went to W, and this guy shows up, you know, with an Affliction shirt, and they're like, "Hey, dude, like you can't come in." So he went down to the gift shop. He bought this like extra medium white shirt. His fucking vein, you could see his veins through the shirt. Is obviously his gold chain. It was like a belly top too, and I'm like, "Fuck, dude, this guy's gonna be hard to wheel with at the W." Sure enough, I ended up pulling. So Frankie Lassard, hopefully he doesn't get mad. That guy's one scary motherfucker. He'll come hunt us down. Oh, I think with his signing bonus too, instead of buying anything or putting it in the bank, like buying anything useful, he put a hot tub in his living room. He bought a hot tub, put it in his living room in his summer house in Quebec somewhere. So that's another Frankie Lassard.
Coming
this
to
guy's
America
a treat.
Style.
This guy's
gotta get him on.
Character.
Can we get him on?
Yeah.
All right. You know him.
Hash story kind of took on a mind of its own there.
Yeah, wait. Actually, yeah. Quickly before we move on, you can if you're suspended in the AHL, you couldn't then come up to the NHL?
Well, he did, but it's just because they had to get to it. Like they had to call him up at send point to hit his minimum.
I know. I'm wondering, though, if you got suspended in the AHL, could you then go play NHL games?
Well, I don't think he was of the caliber to play
at the NHL
level.
I know.
He used the full roll of tape on his ankles at that point in his career. But, nonetheless, he didn't play that year.
All right, next up, we have a call from Ari's aunt.
Oh.
Nice.
Jit?
Brian, it's your aunt, Jeanine. I just wanted to give you a call, let you know that I straightened out Benny. I heard him in your room downstairs in the basement, yelling at you. He was going through your piggy bank. And listen, I just want you to know that I got your favorite mac and cheese bites ready. And your older brother, he put together a nice video clip of Kyle McClary highlights. He thought you'd like that. I straightened up, Penny, so just get your cute bum back, all right? Good night.
Good aunt, so nice.
Dude, that sounded like when fucking Homer Simpson was calling Mr. Burns and pretending.
Time out. That isn't actually your aunt, correct?
No, that is most certainly not one of my many aunts.
Just had to check.
No, he's like, you know I don't like mac and cheese bites.
Yeah, it's like, hello, Mr. Burns. This is your mother, Mrs. Burns. That's what it sounded like. I don't know what the fuck they were saying. Obviously not my aunt. I'm not a huge mac and cheese guy, but shout out for another waffled caller. I guess I'm
and a little bit creative. Don't mind that.
I like that. I think
it's funny.
All right, boys. Next up, we have a Ryan Whitney apology from an Edmonton Oilers fan.
Oh.
Hey, how's it going, boys? My name is Andrew Bennett. Love the podcast, but I have to actually give you guys an apology, specifically to you, Whit. It was about February 15th, 2012, I tweeted out at Ryan Whitney, I blame that loss on you. I was being an absolute pigeon, petty Oilers fan. I think the Oilers must have lost in overtime. I decided to take my anger out on Twitter and go at you, Whit. Shortly after, I got blocked on Twitter by Whitney. Haven't been able to see his tweets at all since. So I just want to apologize. Maybe an unblock would be awesome. It's Andrew Bennett. At 97. If not, though, just wanted to apologize. Love the podcast. Love you guys' content. Keep it up.
Wow. All right. You know what? I have a lot to talk to Andrew about. I appreciate the apology. Here's my thing. It's not a true apology if he's done that since. If earlier this year he tweeted at Clefbaum that loss is on you, it's almost like the apology's empty. So if he learned from being a prick, I would say, you know what? Good for you. Everyone makes mistakes. I appreciate the apology. I was also, listen, you guys, I'm not kidding you. I was blocking like 20 people every game. I mean, I think it was the lockout. Yeah, the lockout year, 48 games. Don't know how many I played. Every game I played, I was like, block fest. Since I retired, or since I think I left Edmonton, I haven't blocked anyone. Now I thrive on it. Now I live for it. But God, when I was playing, man, it was tough. So, I mean, I kind of hate you, Andrew, but I also really want to thank you because that's nice of you to understand that, you know, you were being hurtful at a really tough time for me and my ankles.
Okay, so next up we have Chicklets Hate.
Holy fuck, boys, biz nasty, you fucking muppet piece of shit. You two are a, you bald-headed fuck. And you wit, you fucking Edmonton hater. Fuck you, buddy. This is the best fucking city in the world, man. Stop hating on the fucking Oilers, you piece of shit. And Grinnell, you're kind of a beauty. Take care, boys.
Wow, that's why Grinnell played this one, you piece of shit.
Hey, that's not bad, dude. Hey, that kid,
give me some more hate.
No, that kid was honestly sitting on the couch next to Andrew, and he was like, fuck, I'll just call right after you. We'll even this thing out.
Yeah, which one of your buddies was that, Grinnelli?
Oh, I wish I knew.
Hey,
I
just, wish
I
knew.
No, because I picked, landlord. Those are the two I picked. I said, what did I say? I did Whitney Apology and Chicklets Hate.
So I titled it Chicklets Hate, but in my computer.
Yeah, actually, what is that?
It's Chicklets Hate / Grinnelli Love.
Oh, you little pussy.
All right, so you want more hate though, Biz, you said?
Yeah. Somebody teeing off on me.
All right, here we go. We got drunk Biz hate.
Fuck you, spitting chicklets. Especially you, Biz Nasty. You think you're so fucking tough. You're the type of guy I fucking take the puck in and I just chip it in your fucking area. Then you go get it, I crush you.
Oh, God, this is fucking painful.
You're a big buzz guy.
Fuck this guy.
Buzz guy, like you're trying to hide the fucking snow up your nose. So fucking goddamn good. Look at you running around, running your mouth.
Is that Brian Yandel?
Oh, it's like he heard you.
Yeah, that's your reply.
That was terrible.
Jesus,
that was fucking brutal.
The blood alcohol content on these fucking calls. Everybody's shit-faced.
So here's the drunk, forgetful Canadian.
Hey, you fucking Muppets. I goddamn love your show. I'm a little hammered. I'm half in the bag. But I'm a Canadian down in America, and my God. I don't know where I'm going with this. You know what? I'm going to call back. I need to do it again. What do you think?
Dude.
That did he call back?
No, he never called back.
Jesus Christ.
That guy was...
Here's a good question. Here's a good one you'd like. NHL Instagram videos.
What's going on, boys? I'm not sure if you saw this video that was posted by the NHL's Instagram on Media Day for the Super Bowl that asked Patriots and Rams players, who's Connor McDavid? They had three choices, a prime minister, a hockey player, or an award-winning actor. And it's a 40-second video, and everyone gets it wrong besides the last guy, which was clearly just a guess. And I was wondering, do you think this should be something that the NHL is marketing, or don't you think it's a little bit embarrassing that these professional athletes don't know the name of one of the best players to ever play the game? You know, if they asked about Tom Brady to NHL players, everybody knows who the guy is. So I just want to know your thoughts on that. Thanks.
It's an interesting point. You know, I mean, here's the league saying, hey, nobody knows who our number one star is from this other league. So it's, yeah, it is a good point raised by the caller. Like, why would you publicize the fact that people don't know your number one star?
Well, here's the thing. For the most part, in my opinion, hockey players, more than any other sport, know, you know, what's going on in other leagues. They really follow football. You guys follow baseball. But you get to those NFL guys, they live in their own little bubble. They don't give a shit. I mean, for the most part, none of them even like hockey, right? That's the thing. A lot of NHL guys, they like a lot of other sports. They played other sports growing up. Not to say football players didn't, but I don't know. Do you know what I mean, Biz?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think if, like, you asked who Wayne Gretzky was, they would know. So McDavid's only been around a few years, so I can kind of I can understand where they're coming from. And they just don't watch hockey down south. Like, football guys are the last guys to ask.
Yeah, they don't care.
Hockey.
They
don't give a shit.
And so
Tom Brady's a little different because he's at the end of his career too. But now it's the most televised sport in America. So I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on that. I don't take offense to it either. Hockey's growing. It's going
to
get there.
By the way, can people stop asking me to ask you two to unblock them? I get DMs and tweets all the time. Can you ask Biz to unblock me? Can you ask Wits to unblock me? It's like, man, if they blocked you, they blocked you for a reason. Like, I got better shit to do than track these guys.
I'm not going
to
go in. I wouldn't even know how to go unblock. That just sucked for them for being really mean to me at one point.
And this one is from the BU Bandit.
Ooh, the butt bandit.
Hey, Chicklets. It's the BU Bandit here. Make sure to ask Witt about the time he was with the BU softball player and he had a bloody nose. Ha, 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 ha. Or ask him about Boston College girl. BU Bandit, out.
Oh, bringing out the demons.
If BU Bandit, my good buddy Justin Miser, that was him. I knew it the minute I heard BU followed by Bandit. If he thinks I'm going to be going into stories of me back in college, he's crazier than I thought. Now, mind you, this is a kid who used to bend over and try to get me to tape. No joke. He'd want me to tape like a beard trimmer to a hockey stick so I could be 6 feet away, but then shave his cornhole for him. And I was like, you shut the fuck up right now, Mize, and you get out of my face because you're one of my best friends, but I'm not doing that. So the BU Bandit bringing up old stories, get out of my face, Mize.
Why wouldn't he just do it himself? I shave my own asshole with my clippers.
I'm sure he ended up doing that.
I have like a half guard, and I
bloody nose in the gym. Some softball girl, hello, fired a softball at me. I wasn't even looking. Thing buried me in the nose.
So no college stories from Whitcomb anytime soon?
I don't even have any, dude. I was just focusing on hockey. I'd be in the gym after games, before games, watching films of Lidstrom. I was just
doing calf raises. let's get one more. Let's get one more good one. Come on. Dude from Finland asking about Finland.
Yeah, that was next up.
Yo. Jonas Salo from Finland, a young plug, a longtime four-liner, and I have a question for Beef Nasty and Whitney, both of them too. What's your take on Finnish hockey players in the NHL and overall? What do you guys think are the best three players of all time from Finland? Thanks, man.
Well, wait, you played with one of them.
I like that. I like that. First off, my opinion on Finnish guys, I don't know if I've ever met a bad one. They all love having a good time. They all work hard. They love to drink, Biz. They get way more chatty the more beers they have. I think they start trusting their English better. And they're just funny dudes. And they like I just said, they play so hard that you love having them as teammates. The best three Finns of all time. Teemu, easy.
Yep.
I think Jari Kurri has to be.
Yeah.
And, dude, oh, man, I don't know, because there's some coming now that could end up being in the top three easy. It's like their country's getting better and better, bringing up more players. I think we said it last podcast or something. So, I don't know, Biz. What's your top three?
Sammy Lapisto, Lauri Korpakoski, and Teemu Selänne. Those other two guys, other than Teemu, were guys I played with in Arizona, and we would run hard.
Pitkinen.
Those were the glory days when we were making our runs to the conference finals and getting bottle service once a week, and we would do postseason Vegas trips. So shout out to Lauri Korpakoski and Sammy Lapisto, who obviously this guy was a wheel. He's got twins now, though, married, so he's settled down. Love you, Sammy. I know you're listening.
Obviously, Teemu is probably number one, if not number two, to Kurri. I would say for a goaltender, Mika Kiprusoff. And for a defenseman, Teppo Numminen. I think he's probably one of the more underrated defensemen of his era as well.
Coyote.
Yeah.
Teemu Teeminen, well. Hell of a career. We saw him in San Jose, little cigarette machine on skates.
So, all right, thanks everybody who called in with the voicemail. Maybe lay off the sauce a little bit before next time or prep a little better. But we got some nice ones there. Hopefully they'll get better as the year wears on.
All right, guys, wait. But we do have one more before we wrap up. And this one's a bit longer. It's almost a little over a minute. And it's a great story.
Oh, this better be good then.
It's actually about Biz's dad. So this is a story about Biz's dad. I didn't send this in the list because I kind of wanted to surprise you guys with this one.
Hey, guys, love your show. This is a Biz's dad story, so this is fucking hilarious. So, I think it was a couple years ago, Biz, you're still in the league, and me and my cousin Diddy, we went and got custom Biz Nasty jerseys, and we're just standing out front the arena and just having a bullshit, and this older gentleman comes up to us and goes, holy shit. Those are nice fucking jerseys. I'm like, oh, thank you. And he goes, yeah, that's my son. And I'm like, oh, no way. Like, that's awesome. And he goes, yeah, hopefully we can beat those Pittsburgh cunts tonight. And I'm like, holy shit. No, Biz, I get it where it comes from. So anyways,
hello?
Anyways, the game's...
What happened there? You take a nap?
And we're just outside the rink walking, and
we see your dad again. We're like, hey, can we get a picture with you? And he's like, yeah, fuck yeah. So we took a picture of all of us, my dad, my cousin Diddy, me, and your dad. And after the picture's done, he's like, hey, boys, I really got into one. Can you help me into my vehicle? So my cousin Diddy and I fucking helped your old man into his vehicle. And your mom was so thankful and just full of laughs. And it was actually really entertaining because he couldn't walk anymore. And what a weapon. So what I did is my buddy JJ used to do the ice in Phoenix, and he signed that jersey. He got you to sign my jersey. So I framed it with that photo above my desk just to remember that memory and how fucking awesome your dad was. So just wanted to share that story. My name's Chris. You have more questions?
He gave his phone number, so I had to cut him off there. But Biz, we've never really heard much about your dad. Kind of sounds like a legend.
Oh, he's a social butterfly. He'll go up and say hello to people at the urinal.
Dropping C-bombs, too.
He's a weirdo like that. I'll talk to anyone, too. But, yeah, there was a period of time there when he used to come to the Coyotes games. They would fly in Arizona and stay there for a couple months. We actually went 11-0-1 one time in home games that he attended during the course of time when he was on vacation there. He'd be running up and down the aisles, like high-fiving people and shit. Like, and if you knew him, you'd be like, oh, God, I got secondhand embarrassment. I would get embarrassed.
Yeah.
But he would come down the fucking locker room after, and he'd call Shane Doan. He'd be like, Sean, great game. Shane fucking Doan, dude. My fifth year on the team, Sean Doan.
Like fucking Gino Malkin.
God bless him. I love my old man. He's a social butterfly. He'll talk to anyone. So I appreciate you guys being nice enough to bring him back to his vehicle. And yeah, Cam Bissonette, good old Cammer.
And before we move on from the voicemails, just want to let you know that they were brought to you by Mugsy Jeans. If you're an athlete, you know how hard it is to find clothes that fit you well. The truth is, men's clothes are not designed for guys with bigger asses and legs, especially when it comes to jeans. Well, I have good news for you. The answer to your problems is finally here. Mugsy Jeans are designed specifically for dudes like us. Mugsy was started by a stoolie who was tired of having his balls choked out in jeans. His goal was simple: reinvent men's jeans to look good and feel outrageously comfortable. I got Mugsy Jeans, and they are by far the most comfortable jeans I've ever had. This stoolie spent 5 years working with industry experts and athletes from former NHL players and Hobie Baker winner Blake Jeffron to perfect the feel and fit of his jeans. The magic is in Mugsy's proprietary denim, which is made from a bunch of high-tech materials that make these jeans mind-blowingly soft and flexible. And when I say flexible, I mean these jeans are so stretchy you could hit the squat rack in them, no problem. They're so comfortable, they make basic movements like sitting, bending, and kneeling feel like a dream. No exaggeration, you want to sleep in these jeans. And it is no exaggeration, they are super comfy. And even better, Mugsy's jeans come in a stylish fit that's not too baggy, not too tight, so you somehow look even better than you feel. Men's Health called Mugsy Jeans the best jeans for athletes for good reason. Take our word for it. Give Mugsy Jeans a try and you won't be able to wear any other jeans again. Mugsy is so confident you'll love their jeans, they do free shipping and returns, so your comfort is 100% guaranteed. Do your legs a favor. Head to Mugsy.com, that's Mugsy.com, to check out Mugsy's full lineup of jeans and safe-for-work chinos, including new styles and sizes. Use the code SPIT for $10 off. That's a beer on us and a pair of the most comfortable men's jeans ever made by heading to Mugsy.com using the promo code SPIT. Biz, you got to let us know when the Yotes are going on the dad strip next time. They won Tuesday night in Vegas because we found out the Blues have gone 7-1 on their last couple of dad trips where the dads go along with them.
Well, their last eight.
Seven on the last eight.
I just did the quick math for you there.
All right, thanks, brother. And well, the Yotes, they had their dads. They played Tuesday. They smoked Vegas in Vegas. So that's some intel the gambling community needs to get to. So we'll get to that a little bit more later.
I thought the guy was like, yeah, I put him right behind the wheel and said, "Yes, yeah."
I know, guys. I was a little nervous. Yeah. I know my father wouldn't drink and drive, and I'm like, "Oh God, this we're gonna have to cut this out." Also, but Yoli took care of him.
Yeah, thankfully, your mom was there to drive him. I got a little scared there too. Like, we don't want to be publicizing drunk driving stories. A few other notes around the league we want to catch the listeners up on. Bruin sniper David Pastrnak, he's going to be out at least 2 weeks. He was at a team function Sunday night. He slipped, ironically, on some ice, I guess. He had an injury to his thumb that required surgery, so they're going to miss him for at least 2 weeks down the stretch. Not ideal for a team that struggles to score. He was at a team function. I know everybody chirping online, oh, what was he, buckled, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, if he was with the team, I can't imagine he was fucking legless. What do you think of that? I mean, people just kind of reckless making allegations out there or what?
Well, I understand it, you know, it can look like, you know, you're shit-faced, you're out having, you know, a time with your boys and something happens, but everyone's like saying for sure. I mean, dude, how do you know he didn't just walk down and it's an icy night, he steps on some ice, hurts his thumb? I mean, it's just, we're not going to sit here and like, you know, kind of guess as to what happened or what him and his teammates were doing. We don't know. Nobody knows. I mean, you know, I just think it's kind of ridiculous for everyone to right away say he was shit-faced. I mean, just because it's at night doesn't mean anything.
I have no opinion on it. I didn't even know what happened, to be honest. So heal up there, Pasta, which is another guy that we got at the All-Star game. And he was awesome. He's got a great personality. He's funny with that chip tooth.
He pulls it off.
Yeah, he's got the double
Lloyd Christmas.
Speaking of injuries, too, we did mention in the previous show, James Neal, he got a puck off the teeth. He ended up losing 8 teeth altogether. But it turns out he lost even more teeth before that. It was either, I think 13, Biz had written in the text. It might have been 11 teeth. We read contradictory reports. Either way, he lost more than 10 fucking teeth in an incident before that. I dug around. I wasn't sure exactly how it happened. But what's the most teeth you've ever lost, Biz, in one sitting?
I have a bridge in my front grill here. So I lost one big tooth. I actually got some dental work coming up. And I lost one on the side there, if you want to take a look there.
Oh, you never replaced?
It's got a little metal peg. So I got the replacement coming in a couple weeks here. But dental work sucks. You got to go there, get frozen up and all that drilling, just the noise of it.
Oh.
We're talking about one here. I couldn't imagine losing 11 or 13 teeth, man. That's a full day at the dentist. And that's now he's got to go through that again. So thoughts out to James Neal, and he needs our loving.
Yeah, I guess the teammates were joking that they needed subtitles for him because they can't understand him missing all those chiclets. I got a feeling we'll be talking about this guy with more updates as the show goes on. Joe Thornton, we mentioned he had tied Gordie Howe for all-time assists. Well, he passed him Monday night in Vancouver, and at the same time he passed Gordie Howe for assists, he tied Teemu Selanne for number 15 in all-time points. So big Joe Thornton just keeps chugging along. I'm sure he's going to take another couple names down on the list as he keeps playing. Some tough news out of Minnesota. Tom Kervis, the Minnesota's 56-year-old assistant general manager. He's also the GM of the Iowa Wild, their farm team. He announced he has lung cancer. There's a very well-done piece in The Athletic by Michael Russo, if you want to read it, kind of gets into the story of what happened. Basically, he wasn't feeling well. He had the team doctor check him out a couple different times. They finally did a CAT scan. They found a mass on his lung. He has cancer on his lung. So he's going to be fighting through it. He's got some medication he's going to start. They termed it basically stage 3. And he did have a quote at the end of the story I thought was good to share. He said, quote, "Everybody has a story. This is now part of my story. I hope it's a happy ending. I plan on it being so," end quote. So we echo those sentiments of Tom as well. We hope he gets through this as good as he can. Cancer's a battle we're all familiar with. Everybody has friends, relatives who battle it. And we hate to hear this news, but we want to send our best wishes and well regards to Tom and his fight.
Awesome guy. Todd Walsh introduced me to him, and he's always up in the press box, just always has a smile on, and wish him the best. He's an unbelievable person.
Yeah, hockey community's tight, and you know, really kind of gets around these stories and kind of gets behind guys. So best wishes to him. We're thinking of you.
Okay, well said, boys.
I got a question. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, so when this comes out, it's Valentine's Day. Whit, what are you getting your old lady for Valentine's Day?
Probably nothing. Valentine's Day is a scam. I'll get her. I'll probably get her some flowers. She doesn't like roses, and then a card. But listen, you know, that's a made up holiday. It's made up by Hallmark to just sell. You know, it's genius. They made up a holiday and they make millions and millions off of it. It's nothing. I mean, yeah.
Time out.
If you go out and get your wife something really nice, nothing against that. But you know what I mean? I will say this. So many couples with the Valentine's Day post on Instagram. Last year, at the end of the day, one of my buddies in our group chat, he said, "Guys, I'm very proud of all of us. Not one of us did a Valentine's Day Instagram." I'm like, fuck, your birthday, special days, any day, you know, you want to post something with your wife, your girl,
good for you. But to do it just because it's Valentine's Day, fuck off.
Well, I was going to ask, Hallmark created Valentine's Day?
I've always been told that. Maybe it's a complete wives' tale. But what is it? I don't know. Is it a legit, like, what is it already, you know?
No, it's just a racket, like St. Valentine. I mean, what if not everyone's a fucking Catholic or a Christian who celebrates the saints? I think it was dummied up. I don't know if it was drummed up, rather. I don't know if it was by Hallmark. But, yeah, it's not a real holiday. Me and my old lady, I mean, when we were first date, we went on a couple restaurant dates, and you feel like you're in a fucking cafeteria. They're just shuttling you in, shuttling you out. So a couple years in, I says, look, fuck these dinners. Like, we made an agreement, like, lobsters are red every Valentine's Day. We got a couple lobsters. We may have a big lobster dinner at home and then fucking don't have to go around messing around. It works. Now we've been doing it for about 10 years now. I don't think it's sucked.
That is, I couldn't have guessed it, but it doesn't surprise me if that, oh. Like, that is just perfect.
They look like a hot.
Hey, you
hot.
Can hold on, honey. You can hear them screaming as they're getting boiled. Come on down.
Got a hot.
I actually sent my ex flowers, but only because we got that 1-800 flowers promo, and I had one of the guys from the office send them over. Yeah. So
I don't even think they sell flowers in Secaucus. I'm gonna have to get on this.
So I sent it to my ex. I said, from your favorite side piece, Paul. I'll be expecting a call tomorrow.
Yeah, no shit. How about a little gambling corner? Jazz things up a little bit. I didn't have one the last couple. I got ice cold, man, after I hit that Edelman bomb.
I can tell. I saw a tweet where you even mentioned I'm cold to somebody. Oh, yeah. It happens.
Yeah, but I had a good little comeback over the weekend, Sunday into Monday. A couple of unposted plays, but they got me back on the swing of things. So let's go. Let's go to the gambling corner. Thursday night, tonight, Calgary is at Florida. Calgary got dusted by Tampa the other night. I think they're going to come back with a strong effort. So I like the Flames on the money line for a unit and the puck line for a half unit. That's, again, Thursday tonight in Calgary at Florida. And then I got a couple of games Saturday. The Bruins are at the Kings. I like the Bruins for on the money line for one unit and on the puck line for a half a unit. Also Saturday, Toronto is at Arizona. Sorry, Biz, I got to go against your boys. I like the Maple Leafs for a unit and the puck line also for a half unit. So once again, Calgary on Thursday night. Money line for unit, puck line, half unit, and two games on Saturday. Boston and Toronto, both on the money line for unit, both on the puck line for a half unit. Happy gaming. Good luck to everybody.
Nice. Oh, and I got a question.
The Kings haven't been playing bad either. After the travel out west, that's a ballsy one.
Yeah. You mean where they went out east, you mean, the Kings?
The Kings just have been playing better overall lately, and then, you know, the Bruins got a long flight. But, I mean, I was just kind of just thinking about his picks. The other two, I really
agree. Oh, I think I understood it because the Kings were just out east. They were playing, and that's kind of when they got some steam going. They've been playing some decent hockey, as you mentioned. Did you guys see that pass from Elias Pettersson in that game against San Jose? He is fucking insane. He's, to me, he's, if he continues what he's doing right now, he's a top 20 player in the league. He takes over games.
He's incredible. He's dominating playing center in the NHL. He wasn't even playing center last year in the Swedish league. He's playing wing. He is doing things that are just shocking people every night. That play, he just, like, you know, slowed the game down a little bit, pulled up, little head fake to open up a seam that nobody else would see, and he just fires it over. Just an incredible dish. Actually, it was funny. I don't remember the D-man playing it, but he played it kind of poorly. He got turned towards the boards, got faked out a little, and someone's like, look at this Whitney impression by so-and-so, the right D. But it was just filthy. I mean, he makes guys look stupid. His shots also, I mean, he has a cannon.
Hey, guys, real quick, just want to talk to you for a second about State and Liberty. Guys, there is nothing worse than guys that don't wear clothes that fit. Trust me, I know better than anyone. Especially where they are in shape and you have no way of telling because they're wearing clothes that are too big. Well, guys, if you have an athletic build and have struggled to find a dress shirt that fits, we have to tell you about State and Liberty. State and Liberty is known for making the best-fitting, most comfortable dress shirts for those guys who work out. The dress shirt fit provides more room in the upper body. It has a nice taper at the waist, leaving minimal excess fabric hanging off the body. On top of the fit, the fabric has a ridiculous amount of stretch and is moisture-wicking as well. With State and Liberty, you get a great fitting, a professional-looking dress shirt with all the comfort and properties of your favorite workout shirt. The dress shirts are $90, and since you don't need to dry clean them, they pay for themselves over time. We have hundreds of professional athletes endorsing the brand. We got stores in New York, Boston, Chicago, if you want to try out the gear in person. They have a no-questions-asked return policy and offer free returns and exchanges. So go to stateandliberty.com. That is state, andliberty.com and type in code CHICKLETS to get 10% off your first order, or head to one of the store locations and mention Spit and CHICKLETS to get 10% off. Again, that is stateandliberty.com, promo code CHICKLETS.
Boys, I need the backstory on this junior kid getting just shoved around, and then somebody pokes at the back of his legs, gets bullied, and then the announcer obviously chimes in. It was in the Western Hockey League. You posted the video of the CHICKLETS account. Why was this kid getting bullied like that on the ice?
Actually, I poked around because it was actually the Western States Hockey League, not WHL. So there wasn't the coverage that you would get for the WHL. So I didn't have any luck trying to track down the story. I mean, it could be on some message board somewhere. But yeah, in case you missed the video on our Instagram, the little guy, they were doing the handshake line. He's kind of sandwiched between two guys. One guy pops his helmet off, and the other guy just fucking bitches him, just trips him right outside the line. I mean, tough video for the little guy to have to float around and go viral for, man.
So we don't know the story to it, but I felt bad for him. And that was in the handshake line?
No, it was during a stopped play. There was a commotion a little over on the ice.
What is the Western State Hockey League?
It's a junior league.
It's the SPHL of junior leagues.
Yeah, I mean, what is that? You can be 14 to 24. It's a 10-year gap you can play in the...
Oh, one thing that we got to mention is I forget who the guy's name is, Whit, and you might remember in Pittsburgh. He does the in-between the periods
interview. Potash.
Potash. Did you see him interview the guy between periods and like start hitting him on the head when he was talking about how he's in it mentally?
Yeah, that was to my boy, Garrett Wilson. Potash just kind of telling him not to wake up. But, I mean, you don't often see those guys give the players pats on the head. Willie's just standing there like, oh, what's going on right now? But either way, Potash also dressed up, I think, for 80s night. He was interviewing Mike Sullivan with, like, black lips. I was like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. He was just his kiss, wasn't he?
Yeah, kiss. I was just so funny. And Sullivan was like, answer serious questions.
Yeah. Boys, another question I had for you. Did you guys see the unfair puck drop in overtime that Johansson was complaining about against St. Louis when Tarasenko scored his hat trick goal? And then they ended up sweeping that home-and-home series. Johansson was not very happy about it. He had some comments afterward. Obviously, everyone started sending him like crying baby pictures on Twitter and shit after that. But wants more consistency as far as the puck drop, because that possession is huge, 3-on-3 overtime, and they ended up losing it, and they ended up getting scored on.
Quick question, Biz. He did say, I just wanted to be fair. My stick wasn't even on the ice. Now, can linesmen give themselves a mulligan there? Can, like, if they know they did an unfair drop, can they blow the whistle right away and just say, hey, I got to do a do-over? That wasn't, like, similar in basketball. If the referee butches a jump ball, they can do it over, like right in the spot. Can linesmen do a mulligan like that?
Ooh, I'm going to have to ask Whit. I would assume that it's an actual referee's job to pay attention, and if it's unfair, he were to blow it.
I'm pretty sure that happens. I don't think it's an issue if you drop it and then there's a quick whistle. That's a great question. It makes sense that it would be that's like almost the referee's job to come in and kind of separate two guys trying to get space on the hash mark. Maybe the same type thing for the puck drop, but good question, RA.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get answered by a linesman who follows our Twitter account.
Well, if we have a ref on the show someday, we can
talk. Yeah, we're going to. I got an into that.
Oh, you too, Ryan. Nice.
I think we should wrap up with Hockey Hall of Famer Eric Lindros. He was supporting Ken Dryden's call for the NHL to penalize all hits to the head. You had a little bit more info on that, RA.
Yeah, Lindros was on Parliament Hill in Ottawa last Wednesday, a week ago today. He was urging the MPs, which I believe are the Canadian congressmen, to, quote, develop a single national protocol for preventing and treating sports-related concussions, end quote. He thinks that kids should take a few months off each year from sports like football and hockey and give their brains a rest, basically. He also supports Ken Dryden's call that all hits to the head should be penalized, which means incidental ones, and that body checking should be banned until after puberty. I obviously understand what he's doing. His career was cut short because of concussions, but I think the issue is, and I've heard Dryden say it, any hit to the head has to get a guy thrown out of the game. And I just think in hockey that there's just so much incidental contact and accidental hits to the head that you'd be throwing half the guys on teams out just because of accidental hits to the head. What's your take on it, Biz?
The biggest question mark I have is when do you start contact for kids? Is it a case of where you want them to learn how to do it properly at a young age? Because if you wait too long, then, you know, kids are bigger, faster, stronger, and then learning it for the first time, where you might have more issues. I don't know the answer. That a study would have to be done, and there's a lot of people are going to have varying opinions. I went to a body contact hockey school when I was younger, and that's where I learned how to hit, and it helped me out drastically. It was basically a full week of doing drills where you're playing with the puck, and guys are learning how to take hits and learning how to give them. So, Whit, what do you think? When do you think they should start implementing contact in hockey?
I don't know. It's a tough question. I grew up from like right away. I mean, well, if you played like travel hockey, metro hockey, I think it was called in Boston, there was hitting, but town there wasn't at a certain age. That was later. I mean, you make a good argument for both. I'd like to see how it plays out right now with what they did in waiting a little longer. I'm not sure the exact age. I wish I did. Grinelli, I don't know if you knew. Is it like 11 years old now?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Either way, it's older. You know, they make kids wait a little bit, which I'd like to see. I just like to see that play out. But I also think, I mean, if you really don't want, you know, your kids to play hockey, don't have them play hockey. I mean, it's like you can talk all you want about how, you know, certain people hate how physical it is or how there's too much head contact or whatever the question is. But in the end, it's up to you if you want to allow your kids to play. If you don't feel comfortable, just, I don't know, they're not going to play. It's at some point. But I shouldn't say at some point, you're always going to have people that aren't happy with what's going on and want something changed. So it's up to the parents to figure out if they want to allow their kid to play. And if they do, then you try to teach them the best way that you can in terms of like how to take a hit, how to give a hit. How to give a hit is probably just as important as how to take a hit, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens here. I mean, these laws, they take time to pass. And the thing with the age, too, is so many kids at different sizes at an age. So even if you have a limit of 15 to 16, some guys haven't even hit puberty yet, and other guys are fucking, you know, built like they're 24 years old. So it's tough with
I had a push when I was 12. Like some of the kids in the school, their dicks hadn't even popped out yet.
My dick Bill hasn't even popped out yet.
Hey, I would hold court about telling guys I was getting hand jobs and shit. They couldn't believe it in grade six.
What do you
here's
mean?
Here's a weird one for you. I got caught having a 69 by my old man when I was going into grade 8. So it was the summer of just finishing grade 7. This girl was on probation. She stole her neighbor's mail. She had to actually call her mom to come over because at that point there was no anklets.
I think I was wearing tidy whiteies going into 8th grade. You were 69 in chicks.
Yeah.
Was dad mad or was he kind of proud?
He like called me out of the room and then he's like, why are your eyes red? He's like, were you guys smoking dope in there? And then he asked me if we were going to have sex. And I was like, no, man, no.
He's like, I'm trying, dad. Fuck you. Get out of my car.
I was going to, you cock block.
Oh, man.
Hey, guys, real quick, got to mention Herbal Active, the 100% hemp-based CBD product we always talk about. One thing, if you live in Canada and you're having some issues with shipping, just make sure you message Herbal Active. They will take care of it instantly. They'll figure it out for you. Other than that, we talk about the bomb. I actually went to a Coyotes viewing party when they were playing the Golden Knights the other night, and some lady who's had hand arthritis forever came up to me and she goes, I use the bomb. She goes, it's changed everything. She goes, look, I can grip now. I don't have pain every day in my hands. Another lady came up to me, said she was using the drop. So it's good to see that it's helping a lot of people. I mentioned that the drops helped me for anxiety, anxiousness, and other issues, obviously internal inflammation, which is leading cause of disease. A little fun fact for you guys. So we're going to give you a Biz20 promo code for 20% off. That's Herbal Active, URBALACTIV.com. They're on social media, Twitter, and Instagram. If you have any questions for things that you might suffer from that it can help, reach out to them and they will answer those questions for you. Hopefully you guys enjoy. And as I mentioned, any issues with shipping to Canada, it's legal to ship to Canada. They will address those problems. So thank you.
All right, boys, that wraps up episode 50. Everybody have a fantastic weekend out there and we'll catch up with you early next week.
Yeah, I'm going down to Naples. I'll see you guys Sunday night from Naples, Florida.
Well, my in-laws are down there.
Oh, let me meet up with them.
If you see him, if you see a middle-aged woman with a chiclet shirt and active, herbal active on her feet, that's my mother-in-law.
All right, boys.
Maybe he'll run into his aunt, too.
Hey, thanks for the voicemails, listeners, as always. We love you. Peace out.
Jump.